Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 6 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $2.99 each. Then get flavorful large avocados for 99 cents each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The following is a presentation of the Matt Talk Podcast Network.
Virginia Amateur Wrestling Association presents the Virginia Wrestling Roundup Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Bryant, and each month we'll talk about things related to Virginia wrestling and programs and initiatives from the Virginia Amateur Wrestling Association. This show is proudly sponsored by Cliff Keen Athletic, built for life. And welcome to episode 3 of the Virginia Wrestling Roundup, the monthly podcast produced by Virginia Wrestling Association. I'm your host, Jason Bryant, proud native Virginian who is stuck sadly in the frozen tundra of Minnesota. Joining us on our call today, Bill Swink, head coach at Colonial Forge High School and state chairman, Brian Hazard, head coach at Robinson Secondary.
There you
making
go.
Sure I get that right, and kind of a director of sorts, whatever he does with US, Virginia USA Wrestling, we don't really know. He's just there because he's been there for a while. Andrew Fair, our executive director for VAWA, and joining us for the first time, head coach at New Kent High School, Old Bay Rivers territory, so I've known this guy a while, Mike Foss, and we've got a lot of things to talk about. And first thing, everybody knows what we're going to talk about just by the sheer volume of the message boards on VirginiaWrestling.com. It made me long for the Matt Talk days because it would have been a lot worse back then. But the first thing we're talking about, we've got a big event coming up, the Arthur Ashe Center, the VAWA Kids Folkstyle State Championships on March 7th. The club duels, elementary school and middle school, also taking place. Got the Women's War of the Roses on March 8th. And Andrew, I'm just going to pitch it to you. We got a big weekend of wrestling coming up March 7th and 8th in Richmond.
Big weekend. We're excited.
I can sense your excitement. Tell us why you're excited.
Well, we have the location nailed down. We're going to have it at the Ashe Center. But we've been working hard to try and make this a fun event for the kids. Blue Chip Wrestling is going to be coming in, setting up shop, and bringing all their merchandise to sell, licensed NCAA wrestling apparel, all the way down to gear such as headgear, shoes, socks, and we also have custom finalist singlets that Blue Chip has designed with a cool American flag sublimated background, and this is also a qualifier. This is a qualifier for the Mason-Dixon Challenge. Which is 2 weeks after that date, which includes Maryland, Pennsylvania, and New Jersey. So our top four qualifiers in Virginia get to go on and see where they stack up with the big boys from those other states. So we're excited about the individual tournament. Then we have the duels the next day, and that's just this is the first of a few events that we have this spring where we're going to have an individual tournament and then some club duels tied in. We want to be able to bring the entire wrestling community together and not have too many dates spread out on the calendar. So looking forward to it, and we're just dotting the I's and crossing the T's and getting ready for March 7th and 8th.
Well, it's interesting you bring up the duels because I remember back in the day, I'm borrowing that from a buddy of mine, Dave Jackson, there was the old freestyle club duels that Roy used to host up at Hayfield. They would have the, what did they used to call them, Hazard? It was like the Nova 1 or Nova 2. It was like the tournament, the freestyle tournaments in Northern Virginia all went just Nova 1, Nova 2, Nova 3.
Right. We really weren't probably creative enough to think of any other names, so we were just Nova 1, Nova 2, Number 3, Nova 4, however many we could get in.
Well, Steve Crocker had the lockdown on the Short Pump Classic, so we knew we were good there.
He did. And speaking of that, Jason, they can mark your calendars. May 16th at the Arthur Ashe Center will be the VAWA Freestyle Club Duel, so we will be still having that event, so And
that event will be running at the same time as the kids, the schoolboys, freestyle and Greco. So we know clubs will be traveling and have guys and girls of all ages. So we're going to have the high school or cadet junior combined club duels for freestyle while the kids are scrapping it out in freestyle and Greco. So we're excited about that change and, want to, again, just provide a cool weekend where everybody can be at the same place.
And one thing, those at home and listening, go to virginiawrestling.com. On the right side of the page, you will see a nice little calendar-looking thing that says upcoming events. You will click view all. You can see everything that's coming up and siphon around by month, sift out through month. I don't know. I'm using the wrong words. I was a journalism minor, not a major. So you can find out all the events. I mean, we got some big events coming up. We'll talk about another one here, but we want to lead into it by there was some pretty big news coming out of the state of Virginia regarding women's wrestling. This year, two females placed at their respective tournaments in the VISAA. The private school's Lauren Prada of Trinity Episcopal took eighth at 106 pounds. And then for the first time in the state's history, at least on the VHSL side, I'm not sure if there's been any high placers in the private schools. I guess we'll have to go back to the old Dick Glover. We'll have to get Dick on the show to see if he can tell us, one of those things from his years at Woodbury. But Maria Ramos and 1A 113 pounds from Chilhowee, first ever state finalist female for the state of Virginia. And just want to clarify, there was some talk going out that she was the first one to win a match. Well, we want to correct that. Fire and Gassman. 2006. 2006 at Robinson, I remember announcing it. And I remember the parent from Mills Godwin being a little annoyed at how I called that announcement. So we won't bring that little bit of ear rubbing I got that year. But Fyron was the first one to win a match. But Maria Ramos from Chilhowee, first girl to place, or is the highest placer, the first finalist. So that sets it up nice for the War of the Roses, March 8th. I mean, we'll get Sarah Fulp Allen to talk about this event next month. But big women's tournament coming to Virginia, Andrew. And, what are the thoughts behind the Women's War of the Roses also that same weekend, 7th and 8th at the Ash Center?
Well, again, just combining events and getting everybody under the same roof. But, this event is something that we're obviously excited about, and it wouldn't be as big as it's going to be without Sarah's hard work. And, she's just done an awesome job helping our women's wrestling program become nationally recognized and the success they had last year in Fargo. It's just an exciting time for young girls that like to get after it on the mats in Virginia. Watching Lauren Prada win, but have success in the visit tournament and the response that she got from coaches and other athletes was awesome to see. And I wish I could have been in two places to see the finalists in Salem as well. But we're excited about the War of the Roses and really have to tip our hat to Sarah and all the work she and Chris Michael have done organizing the women's wrestling movement in Virginia. So looking forward to having them there as well.
And I got to correct something. I call her Sarah Fulp Allen because that's how I've always known her, Sarah Bahura. She's got a married name. So sorry, Sarah. So that's just my thoughts there. But I just wanted to clear that up. So let's all clear our throats here now. All right. So, I wasn't paying a whole lot of attention, guys. How did the public school state tournament go? No, I'm just kidding. So for those who have been sleeping under a rock, in the state of Virginia, and no disrespect to people who actually do sleep under rocks, the state tournament in the VHSL had a bit of a, I guess, shortening, you could say, an abbreviated event that ultimately cost hundreds of high school athletes the opportunity to complete their season in the traditional format, meaning the all six public school tournaments, which were already eight-man brackets, which I found completely ridiculous to start with. That's another, the six-class debate is another time, but it ties into it. So then you could run an eight-man tournament in one day with no problems. Then we go, all right, those first-round losers, sorry, you're done. Now, I remember when I first heard about this that morning on Facebook, I'm like, are you kidding me? So the first thing I want to do, this is all weather-related, first thing I want to do is go to Andrew because he coaches at St. Christopher's in the private school sector of the world, and there was weather with, you know, the public schools. There's obviously weather with the private schools. Andrew, how did the private school association handle the travel, and how did it impact your tournament there?
Sure. Well, got to say that the national prep community, that organization has state representatives that then communicate with each state, and then each state follows the same model. So we have four regional reps in the VISA, and John Gordon is the head of that association. And that board communicated throughout the week from the beginning with seating on Monday and Tuesday into weather discussions. And by the end of the week, they had thrown out various options with a backup plan and facility firmly in place, plans to move mats and locations and alter start times based on how the weather played out. But it really just boils down to communication and staying in touch with each other. And I spoke to Coach Gordon today, and he walked me through how the week played out in terms of various rounds of emails and conference calls, and everybody just putting their heads together to come up with the best plan. And we pushed the start a little bit on day two, and cut out some breaks that were in the schedule to get everybody out of there Saturday afternoon. But it really boils back down to communication and making sure the coaches, the parents, and athletes are all informed. And those were 32-man brackets, so a little different than the 8-man bracket.
Now we'll go to Brian, and that to me that seems like it makes sense. Now, Hazard, you had the 5A, 6A at your place up at Robinson. What was the scenario for those that don't know what, you know, the tournament director world and the host coach has to deal with? I mean, you're managing the site right there. What was this all going on in Robinson world?
There were so many different facets that went on for that day. Throughout the week, we had a start time of noon, and we were going to weigh in at 10, and our principal had given the school a 3-hour early release so that the parking would be okay. When we were out of school, Tuesday and Wednesday, on Thursday, our principal came back and goes, we are not going to do the 3-hour release, but here's a schedule we can do. We're going to start at 3, run through the semis, and then the next day we'll do 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, and 1st and 2nd. Friday, that happened Wednesday. Thursday, the mats were all down, kids were working out, and our administrator, Jeff Farrell, who, you know, was the tournament director, said he had gotten a call from the Virginia High School League, and they weren't sure what they were going to do. So there was no contingent plan, unfortunately. But another unfortunate thing is earlier, a lot of the administrators who were with the Virginia High School League decided they weren't going to have a coaches meeting on Thursday night that we've had forever. When they did finally make a decision, I believe it was like 9 o'clock, 8:30, and the coaches found out about 10:30 that we were going to do the single elimination. Our administrator, our athletic director, director of student activities, Jeff Farrell, said, listen, we don't want to do that. We can put down two extra mats. It's going to be crowded, but let's get these rounds done. We can pull the time back. There's a lot of things that we can do. And the Virginia High School League came back and said, no, it's got to be equitable. This is what they're doing, 1A, 2A, 3A, 4A, so you have to do it 5 and 6. You're going to start at 3 and run a single elimination quarterfinal and then, you know, go until about 10:30, which ended up being almost 1 a.m. I can tell you, it was a lot of stress on everybody. Coaches walking in, not knowing and seeing the posted schedule on the wall. And it affected a lot of kids as well, because they were tight. They knew that it was one and done. It affected a lot of kids.
Now, Mike, we're going to shift down to you because you were down in Salem with your team, New Kent. You finished 5th in 3A, and you're in a situation where out in the western, southwestern part of the states where a lot of what would the old AA, you know, basically going down the 81 corridor. How I'm always going to reference it is the AA and single A state tournament, you know, because the six class system, again, is ridiculous. But the but, you know, you had to travel a good from New Kent, probably 4 hours, you know, 3:45, 4 hours to get to Salem. And when were you notified of all this stuff? And what was it? What was it impacting your team and whatnot?
Well, the I remember that it was about the same time frame where they AAA or 5A, 6A, where they told us that the semifinals going to be that night. I thought that came across on Thursday, so that was going to be about the same. And so we were in the – I was in the van, and I got a call from Dan Leal, who is an old coach at Deep Run. He's now a ref and his assistant at Louisa. And he said – and he called me, and we're about at Lexington getting ready, going down to that coaches meeting, which was they moved that up a little bit to 11:30 from 12:30. And he said, you know what they're going to do? And I said, no, because they're going to do single elimination. And I just couldn't believe that they would do something like that. And they were going to run it all in one day. We get into the coaches meeting. Everybody's grumbling about it. Everybody heard about it by then. They announced it. And then Dr. Tom Dolan said that this is the reason they did this is because that superintendents were going to make their teams come home anyway, and they tried to do different things, and this was the best they could come up with, and that winning a state champion. I remember this quote: winning a state champion doesn't mean anything if you die going home in a ditch on the way home, which was I thought was kind of a bit of an overreaction to the whole thing's going on. But that was the time frame, and that's when we found out, and it affected our team. We had seven kids there, four of them got knocked out. We ran into the kid that got second in the state the first round. We got knocked out. We ran into the kid who ended up getting third in the state and got knocked out twice, actually two times it's third in the state. So we ran into we got some rough draws, and so we got knocked out and affected our team adversely.
So what was the general thought between all, you know, obviously with a lot more teams down there in Salem, but what was the general consensus that you were feeling? I mean, I've got a hunch it was kind of how a lot of us feel right now looking at it. I mean, parents, coaches, I mean, you even said an official. I mean, Salem has always been a kind of a thorn in people's side anyway with the way it's set up. But, you know, what was the general thoughts from what you were hearing down there?
Just how this could have been handled much better. It's like it wasn't a trick. I was talking to Larry Hall about the snow the Sunday before the tournament, and I said, what are you going to do about the snow? And he said, well, the best case scenario is we have Sunday. If we need to delay it a day, we can do Sunday in the Civic Center, you know. So it's not like they didn't know that the snow was coming. They could have moved it up. Like the parents, coaches, everybody involved thought that it could have been handled in a more proactive manner, where like you're thinking ahead of time, you know the snow is coming, and you should have a better plan that doesn't change the whole, you know, the whole way this tournament is run. A better plan should have been come up with earlier, but they didn't do that for some reason. And one of it is, God forbid, they don't have it at the Civic Center. But that's another whole other issue.
All right, Bill, you were pretty outspoken in some of your comments with your local paper there in Fredtown and the Stafford area. I mean, now, you know, you're not running a tournament and you're not traveling a whole, you know, it's not a long trip to Robinson for you. You know, certainly not as long as it is from New Kent to Salem. But
sure,
you were not pleased. I guess that's putting it mildly.
Yeah, not pleased for a lot of the same reasons that Mike has stated. I just felt total lack of communication, total disregard to the wrestling community. We were asking questions, everything was a muddy water answer, trying to pass the buck, talking about equity. Then our newspaper reporter and a freelance star, Justin Rice, talked to Ken Tilley, and he said decisions were made independent of each other. So on one hand, they're telling everybody they wanted to keep all six classes the same, and then the executive director of the Virginia High School League says they were made independent. So, you know, what do you believe? Equity, you know, talked about the venues. Well, we can't marry the venue. Swimming, gymnastics, both were to be held last week. They held portions of it and moved the rest of the meets to this week where they could complete them. They didn't give us that option. Very reactive versus proactive. A contingency plan, a weather plan, should be made ahead of time. We shouldn't wait until Thursday night, the day before, when, like Mike already stated, everyone knew the weather was coming for the entire week.
Yes,
no plan was made. So, you know, that's it. I just hope the wrestling community seems to be rallying. It's a rallying point, and we can't fix what has happened, but hopefully we can fix it in the future. Talk about six classifications. Maybe that's something that can come out of this as well. You know, just some of these six classifications I could go on for a month about. But, you know, some of the geographic spreads in the new regions are just – and one of the things was we wanted to reduce travel. Well, 6A South, you go from Prince William County to Roanoke to Franklin County to Chesapeake to Richmond to Virginia Beach. 3A East, Mike's region. Oh. So you got Southampton to Petersburg to Culpeper to Fredericksburg to Loudoun County to Warren County. 1A East, it goes from the Eastern Shore all the way over to Perry McClure on the western side of the state. So there's a lot of examples of that, you know, and if they are looking for solutions, a bunch of us coaches are willing to help with solutions, and hopefully we can do that and maybe enact some change with our school administration and to the VHSL. But it should have been handled much differently. You know, 336 kids got to wrestle one match. I know, you know, you wouldn't want to be the mom or dad to see I got Dylan Westman in the first round and say they're going to single elimination, or, you know, Patrick Grayson in the first round and you know, that was bad
too. And so, you know, my son had to wrestle the state runner-up who had a good match with J.D. Stone. And we had it in the first round of the tournament, and my son in his own home floor got to wrestle one and done. It was a hard pill to swallow for my whole family who was there. And so, you know, I saw it from both sides. It caused a lot of stress.
Now, Andrew, I understand. I mean, there's been a lot of people have been talking. You've been hustling on this, and you're not even a coach in the VHSL, but you've got kids that wrestle in public schools and in the clubs and whatnot. And what have you discovered about what this has caused in terms of the entire state?
Well, I knew it was a big deal when I got an email from one hot aunt that lives in North Dakota telling me how much she knows about wrestling and how mad she was that her nephew fell victim to this decision. This is getting national exposure, and it's making waves here in Virginia. There is a VHSL wrestling protest page that's been started on Facebook that is already up to about 1,300 likes in a matter of two and a half days. And there's even a buzz in Richmond. You know, the General Assembly is meeting here at the state capitol, and you know, I've been in communication with a few folks. One lady, Thelma Drake, she's a former U.S. Congresswoman from the Hampton Roads region, and her grandson wrestles at Oscar Smith. And she's not happy about this, and she's using her expertise and professional contacts to help us reach out to various state delegates. But I've spoken to a few members of the General Assembly, and the best thing that we as a wrestling community can do is to, one, voice your concern to your principal and your athletic director about the VHSL's decision. Contact your administrators, because they have a meeting coming March 11th, the VHSL membership meeting, where school administrators can speak in breakout groups. So reach out to your principals, reach out to your athletic directors, and voice your concern. And the second thing that every parent can do is find who your state delegate is. There's a website that's called Who's My, WHOSMY, www.virginiageneralassembly.gov. And on that site, you can type in your address, and it'll tell you who your representatives are, both at the state and national levels. Contact your state delegate's office, Google them, do whatever you need to do, ask for their legislative aid, or just shoot them an email and voice your concern, because our state representatives will take action if they hear enough people voicing their concern. So it's starting to make waves in Richmond, and there was some legislation in front of the General Assembly to restructure the VHSL. It didn't pass, but the discussion has been started. So, you know, we as the wrestling community want to be part of the solution and not part of the problem. So, we VAWA are also encouraging people to offer anecdotal facts. Tell them how far you've had to travel for your regional tournaments. You know, tell them about the senior who had to face the Dylan Wissman or the Patrick Grayson in the first round. You know, tell them about how it's affected, you know, maybe families that don't have the resources to travel to the region that's 200 miles away, you know, because those are facts. Those aren't emotional rants. So voice your concern, but be careful how you do it, because we want to make sure that everybody hears this and doesn't just say that it's a bunch of mad wrestlers that are kicking and screaming. So,
And Andrew, again, not only their state reps, they need to contact their principals and athletic directors as well.
That's right. That's right. Hit them both. Hit those principals and athletic directors. Again, there's a meeting coming March 11th. That's the VHSL membership meeting. That's a two-day conference. And part of that conference includes some breakout sessions for those school administrators and principals to voice their concerns. So if every high school coach – if every parent of a state qualifier emails their athletic director about VHSL wrestling and how they felt it was unfair, then you know maybe we'll be heard in a few weeks.
I didn't run into many, and you coaches could tell me the same. I don't run into too many athletic directors, even that are non-wrestlers wrestling, that find this 6A class that are fans of it. I mean, it doesn't seem like it's a very popular thing. It's either like the only people that like it are the VHSL themselves.
No, that's no doubt, Mike. You don't see many people that are in favor of it, whether it's school administrators, athletic directors, coaches, parents, newspaper writers. They don't like it. The media doesn't like it. So that's a whole other issue. You know, for our sport, or if they're married to six classifications, you know, there's some ways to handle that. We could go back to four regions within the six classifications. You know, every two conference, that becomes a region versus just the two regions set up like they have now. That would drastically reduce travel alone by doing that for our sport. I'd be in favor to do six dual meet championships if they want. And then go back to the combined three individual tournaments or some form like that. I'd like to have one individual tournament. I don't think we'd ever get that through, but we could maybe go back to three. Good stuff.
Yeah, and here's my thoughts. I mean, again, I'm out in Minnesota, so I mean, I'm dealing with this stuff from afar. But and my suggestion is, again, kind of echoes on what Bill had said, is, you know, New Jersey does this almost the exact same way, where they've got their class systems. I think it's now up to five publics. I think they have two parochials. I think there was adding another class was a big stink this year in New Jersey. But, you know, we only had a dual meet champion in AAA, and that ended in 1996 after Great Bridge beat Franklin County 66-0. That was the last one.
Right.
And it had only been won by Great Bridge or Western Branch, I believe. And I think they were talking about the problem was, is there weren't enough. And at that time, the old single A only had about 39 schools. And I'm not sure what it was before they split to six. But, you know, if a state like New Jersey, I mean, granted, geographically not as spread out. I mean, you can, you know, save the tolls. You can be most places in about 2.5 hours. But, you know, you want to get, you know, championships and gate money. Well, look at it. Why wouldn't six dual meet state championships you know, based on schools of the size. Okay, therefore, okay, your trip, you wrestle in your region, you find some geographical region to do it. Boom, okay, you win. Or you could have a Final Four weekend with all of them in one place. You don't need that many mats.
Sure.
Then, you know, you've got your, you know, because the structure was there. The old AAA, they had the districts, then regionals and states, and then the tournament started. You know, the postseason tournaments, and, you know, it worked in, I can't remember what it was, Bill, maybe you and Hazard were around in that era, 96 in the state qualifying with how that worked. But, you know, one individual tournament, maybe a 3-day tournament, one venue, 8 mats, Pennsylvania does it 3 days, Jersey does it 3 days. I mean, why is the VHSL stuck on the fact that there has to be 6? And I was talking with Marty O'Brien from the Daily Press, and he's even noted that some of the sports that are sanctioned by the VHSL that do not have enough participation at the 1A and the 2A, they have combined championships for those. Why can't they make that, you know, for individual sports, you know, team sports, you want to keep the 6, you know what, fine. They've been doing 6 for football for as long as I can remember. They just called it Division 5 and Division 6 within AAA.
Right.
So I'm looking at it, seeing what California does, seeing what Indiana does. I mean, you know, there's the 3 classes would be cool. I mean, ultimately, I'd love to see the private schools in the VHSO get along, but I don't even know how that one goes. But I'm looking at it from a wrestling standpoint. I mean, how few college coaches are now going to show up at, you know, they have to, first of all, pick 2 different places to go.
Right.
And then you've got, okay, and this is, again, and here's the thing I'm worried about most is the kids, because that's what the VHSL says they're worried about. Well, what'd you say, Bill, 336 kids? And then half of them are one and done. Thanks for coming out.
No, that was the number that was one and done.
336, one and done. Thank you for your entry fee. And thank you for your admissions fee, parents.
Right.
Sorry. I mean, it's like, I mean, it's not quite to the level of BP going, sorry. But it's like, I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around this. But I also want to bring this up because we touched on the names earlier, but Corbin Allen's Facebook, Larry Allen posted a picture of Corbin at Hanover, the state champion, with basically his medal on backwards and the bracket off to the side. I'd heard Wissmann did the same thing. Mike, could you confirm that or not?
I know that Allen was at ours. I can't confirm Wissmann. I didn't see Wissmann.
Wissmann did do it. I saw a picture of his where his medal was turned around as well.
So we've got 2 kids, and you know what? It's not Mexico City, the Olympics with the fist race, but I got to give these kids credit because this isn't about them being punks. This is about them standing up for those 336 kids that did not have the opportunity to stand there next to them on the podium. Dylan Wissmann and Corbin Allen are 2 of the best wrestlers this state have got, and the fact that they made a statement, one, it makes me proud. I'm embarrassed from a native standpoint that our state high school association has done this, to the fact that now, I mean, Flow Wrestling picked it up. I've had conversations with Willie Saylor about this whole thing. First of all, I want to give those 2 guys, a tip of the cap, because, high school students making a stand these days, chances are, who knows, you could get suspended for doing something that's the right thing, you know?
Right.
I mean, gone are the days of, okay, whatever. But I want to give those 2 guys, I put them on blast in a positive manner for, because, respecting whatever, I think what they did, sent a message that, hey, you know what, they screwed this up, and we're unhappy about it.
Sorry, I think that has a lot to do with they also understand that their state championship that they're winning doesn't mean as much in that situation as well. So not only are they angry that these kids, their own teammates, were one and done, but also there's an asterisk next to this year. They went and won what they were supposed to do, and now it doesn't feel the same. And I respect that a lot as well.
Sure.
And Bill, what about your state team title? I mean, you won 6A.
Right.
And Brian, you were 3rd, and we were talking as I was driving back from National Duels, and, it's not to be self-serving when you say this, but you lost a round to score points. How many other teams lost a round to score points? That Clark County and Grundy were 2.5 points in 2A.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like you took out any opportunity, not just for the kids to advance, but, to really say, hey, okay, if you did this with a 6A, now you've cut – a third of our point scoring opportunities out of the way, maybe even more, maybe 40% with the consolations. I mean, Bill, from a coaching standpoint, it's a state title, but.
Yeah, but You know, we were fortunate. We won 11 first round matches, put 11 guys in the semis. So we were placing 11 guys any format they were going to do. It's okay for us. In our division, you know, Brian could have probably confirmed 2 through 7, 8, 9, I think could have been a lot different had the tournament been wrestled out. I think 5A would have been a lot different wrestled out. You had 5, 6 teams there at all, had 7 kids. Well, it was survival of the fittest. You know, some of those teams, I know Great Bridge lost state runner-up from the previous year in the first round. He's done. He could come back and take third, score him, you know, another 16 points or so there, and no chance to do that. So, you know, and that ended up being close anyway. Matoka and Broad Run were within striking distance each other going into the 220, where Broad Run had a kid and Matoka had a heavyweight. Matoka pulled it out by 11 points. 4A, I think, you know, who knows what was there, Falk here in Hanover. You know, Christiansburg in 3A. Probably wouldn't affect it too much there. Like you said, the 2A definitely with that 2.5-point difference between Clark County and Grundy. I looked at the 1A. It looked like Royal Retreat was probably going to be the team that won. But so you got a couple classes where could have changed the entire tournament. You got a couple other classes where it probably would have changed those top 10 teams quite a bit if you wrestle the tournament out. So, you know, it did affect the team standings. It felt a little hollow winning. You know, winning's great. It was nice. We wrestled well. But, you know, there's some asterisks. It didn't give the venues time to properly give the awards to the kids or do introductions before the finals. You know, it took that experience away from the kids and the teams that we're used to seeing.
Was it going to be an asterisk? I mean, you said it best, Bill. You had 11 state semifinalists. There was no other team at that time with more than 3 kids still left in the tournament. You guys had the best team in the state this year, bar none. But it did. I mean, my father was announcing the tournament, and he just said, you know, there was not even a individual champion's picture at the end of the night because everybody had already left.
Right.
You know, we didn't have the pomp and circumstance. You didn't have the turn the lights off, turn the lights on for the awards ceremony, and let's tell people who these kids are.
Right, so, like the video you guys have done in the past with their pictures and all that. We didn't get to do any of that.
Right.
So
yeah, they didn't do that at Salem either. And a real aggravating part for me is that I did have to go home the same night. And they're telling us, we're in a hurry, we can't have the wrestle backs, we can't have this, can't have that. And then at the end, they wanted our champions to stay. And, you know, right or wrong, my form of protest was, I'm sorry, really, the kids didn't want to stay. We had to go because I already got home. When I got home at 4 in the morning. I was up for 23 straight hours. We went out to Salem, wrestled it in a day, came back to New Kent, and then I came back to Richmond. That's I was just aggravated that the whole time they're hurrying up, and then at the end they're like, oh, we want this picture for our program next year. Mm. You know, it seemed like a contradiction to me. So,
well, yeah. just to reiterate about contacting people, there's an interesting interview on the VHL Cell Wrestling Protest page with a gentleman named Kevin Martingale from Virginia Beach. Kevin is an attorney in Virginia Beach. He has a daughter that runs cross country and a son that wrestled in the Virginia Beach Public School. And he shed some light on the VHSL and talked about how the VHSL started about 100 years ago. It was a group that originated in Charlottesville that regulated debate tournaments. And then over the decades, they got more and more responsibility. But the VHSL is a private organization that is neither publicly elected nor has any public accountability, yet dishes out decisions that force public school systems and taxpayers to come out of pocket and increase their spending. So we need to voice our concerns and displeasures with our principals, our athletic directors, and your state delegates that this is an unfair setup, and they are really not serving our public school systems and our children, because this is absurd. I mean, we all know in the wrestling community that the VHSL's decision has made Virginia High School Wrestling the laughingstock of the national wrestling community, and we need to do something about it.
And also, I want to pipe in on that, Andrew. And it's not just – this is a unique position that wrestling, we're impacted by this the most. But, you know, you talked about Martingale, you know, he's got a daughter that plays another sport. Well, how – you know, we've got brothers and sisters that play other sports at these high schools. So, you know, it's wrestling now, but what's going to stop this from impacting another sport that's going to affect another set of parents, or even, this is a section of the parents. I mean, you got kids that play more sports. It's not just – this is not just a wrestling problem. Wrestling felt the burn this time, but there, you know, if it can happen with wrestling, it can happen with every sport that the Virginia High School League sanctions. So again, it's not just, hey, if you're a wrestling parent and you're listening to this and you've got friends that have other athletes that may, you know, your friends and their parents of other athletes in your school system, you're like, hey, what happened with wrestling? Well, you know, that's where, hey, if you're listening to this, tell them about it. So, you know, Andrew Fair has given us a lot of good information on how to do that. So this isn't just a wrestling problem. Again, we were the ones that basically had to fall on the sword unwillingly, so to speak. We were kind of shoved on it. We didn't really fall on it. But, you know, who's to say that this can't happen? What would happen if there's a blizzard in December and the football state championship game has to be, you know, okay, we're only going to play the last two quarters.
Right. Yeah, that's not going to happen, though. Jason, I wish it would have happened to football so we would see how they would have reacted.
I also want to bring up one point quick, Bill, while I'm still on this thing. And Mike was talking about the schedule, and we were talking about Maria Ramos from Chilhowee earlier. Okay, media coverage, two-day tournament. The old schedule was what? Quarters and then consolations and then semis. Semis were supposed to be on the second day, correct? Originally.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, so there is your media coverage gone.
Sure.
About people coming to watch Maria Ramos wrestle in the semifinals or wrestle in the state finals. You basically made that girl an afterthought. It's a great story. It could have gotten, you know, day one, girl wins match, makes semis. Okay. She's already in the semis. She's already going to be the highest placing female in Virginia wrestling history. Boom. Next day, you got people there. She wins in the semis. Then you've got the news stations coming out. I mean, granted, she lost in the finals, but then you've got more media coming out. And you could have done this if you moving the schedule. The weather affected it, yeah, but I still think you could have run this thing in one day, start at 10 a.m., and you'd have been done. That's another thing. Yeah. The media part of me is annoyed because this girl should have gotten more press than she did. And you know what? You can say what you want about the six-class system. She went out there. She made the finals, first time in Virginia history. You know, it was a disservice to her.
No doubt about it, Jason. That's a case where you had somebody that's being successful in the tournament, and it was a disservice to them. So, you know,
if it happened normally, we would be talking a lot more about her and her performance, and same with the girl in the private schools, Lauren Prada. We've spent more time talking about that and talking about the War of the Roses than we would what's gone wrong with our state association.
Well, yeah, I mean, I read on, you talk about what goes wrong, I read on a Pennsylvania forum, the headline was, "So you think the PIAA is stupid? Just when you think no one can make decisions that are more outlandish than the PIAA, along comes the Virginia High School League, the Pennsylvania, or the Virginia equivalent." So, you know, like somebody said earlier, it's made Virginia wrestling a laughingstock around with a lot of people, you know. And you don't need that. We're fighting the six classification system, saying it's watered down. Now, you know, we have things like this out all over the place instead of covering positive things.
Right. And also their deadline is probably what, 10:30, Jason, usually for a newspaper, 11.
Yeah.
And so our bigger weight classes, they don't even get to talk about it in the newspaper because they have to get their paper in early.
You're right, Brian. Our 195, our 220, and our heavyweight got no coverage in the press the next day because it was after the deadline.
Our 182, same thing.
Right. So.
Yeah, I got a text from Nick Polano, who was there, and he said, I was at National Duels. He sent me a text. He goes, 11, it was 11:09 p.m., 152 finals just started. And that was, I'm like, are you kidding me? I mean, I think we're worried about safety. Putting all these people back on the road after midnight? In black, with potential black ice. I mean, everything's a contradiction. And like Mike,
I pulled out of the parking lot at 1:04 at Robinson. That's
we had to clean up. You weren't out till 2:00.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Andrew and you guys were done early because of communication. Because of communication, you said it right in the beginning.
He did.
Well, you know, it is sometimes you get frustrated when the big boys are going toe-to-toe and, the most competitive teams in the state. But it was nice to look around the gym on Saturday and see Dick Kemper, the executive director of the VISA. He was there. He was there for weigh-ins, asking how everything was going, if what we needed to do, both Friday and Saturday. And, it was just nice to see that we had some good leadership and some leadership that was interested and willing to help wrestling when I knew that, all these other guys on the call were not happy, to say the least.
All right, guys, we've been rolling on this, and there's one thing. We can sit around and talk about problems, or let's open it up now to some solutions, because I know we've all got opinions on this. I'm not an active coach. Obviously, my wrestling career dictates that I will never be an active coach, although I do hold a bronze certification USA Wrestling Coaches card, but that's irrelevant. I have coached at the World Team Trials. Brian, have you? No. Anyway.
I'm not.
So let's – I want to start with some solutions to, first of all, maybe the weather problem and maybe the whole VHSL as a whole, ideas we have that can maybe be looked at. I'll start with Andrew because, Andrew, I think you're going the route with the General Assembly and the House is one way to get these solutions solved. But, from an outsider, as far as the public school world is concerned, what do you think a solution to this problem could have been?
Well, I've had talks with various people today, lobbyists, representatives. I even spoke with Ken Tilley with the VHSL today. And, the VHSL, as other people have said, are going to tailor their response to various questions depending on who's asking them. So if we as a wrestling community want to bring about change, we have to come up with a plan. We have to put together a proposal, and then we have to then sell it to our administrators, our principals, and athletic directors, and get them behind it. But I can tell you that USA Wrestling is willing to get involved. USA Wrestling's leadership is willing to co-sanction the event and basically run it, find a venue, find officials, and take a hit to the tune of a significant chunk of money to help the Virginia wrestling community, as long as the VHSL will recognize the results. But if we want to get away from the 6 classifications, we're going to have to come up with a very precise yet simple plan that we can then sell to our principals and athletic directors. And if they support it, then I think it might have a chance, but it's a long shot.
All right, now, Brian, we'll go with you because you're also our state representative for the National Wrestling Coaches Association. You're going to call Mike Moyer up at the NWCA, get that association involved and, a little bit about that. And, you were at your school ran the thing. So what are some solutions on your end when it comes to this debacle, which I think has been thrown, the word that's been thrown around?
Before I even called Mike, and I have talked to Coach Moyer several times, I think the most important thing is there needs to be some foresight beforehand, and they need to look at every situation and say and be proactive and say, if this does happen, this is where we need to go. I hated the single elimination, and we all did. However, if we had known that a week and a half ago and said, this is a chance that this could happen, and it wasn't thrown at us at 10:30 in the morning the day of, I think people will probably – might have been upset, but I think they wouldn't have been as angry if the contingency plan had been there. And this is the only thing we can do. But if we have a contingency plan for everything, here's where we can move. Like Andrew said, here's where the mats can go. We can go to this site. We can do 5A here. We can do 6A here. We can do different places and get it done. Number one thing is we need to have contingency plans. Talked to Coach Moyer, Mike Moyer, today and yesterday, and we talked about dual meets, and they, just coming back from the national duels, we need to recognize that dual meets are very important to our sport. We finished third in the state, Centerville finished second in the state with 3 wrestlers. So that takes away the other 11 kids. The reason dual meets are awesome, the reason the national duels were awesome, was because every kid played a part. If you're losing 14-1 and you don't get tech fault or you don't get pinned, you make a difference to your team. And so when we look at the dual meet, that is the true team championship. And we really need to take a look at that, whether it's through all six classes or through one class. Because our sport, without that, without every kid playing a part, is on a road the wrong direction. So, you know, that's what Coach Moyer and I had to talk about. We didn't quite get into the nuts and bolts of what he could do to help the Virginia High School League, because I know through weight management and through other situations, the Virginia High School League has been difficult to deal with.
All right, and I want to, before I get to Bill, I want to bring this up too. There's VAWA and the Virginia Challenge have been working together for a number of years in the freshman, sophomore, junior, and the Super States that'll be held March 14th and 15th. You know, there's an opportunity for VAWA and the Virginia Challenge to step up and be like, hey, guess what? You've got an asterisk by your state title. Here's an opportunity for those kids, plus the weight allowance. They get 5 pounds. You know, let's show them how realistic a one class tournament could be. And, you know, I know some of the kids are moving into other sports and, you know, are a little dejected, but I think there's 336 kids that might like that opportunity to wrestle for another medal.
Sure. That's a great opportunity, Jason, for those kids that only got to wrestle one match and the state champs. I mean, last year, the majority of, which was the first year of the Super States, the majority of my kids did participate. But it's a great opportunity. You know, it's at the Arthur Ashe Center, good venue, 12 mats down, and we'll wrestle all day long. So nice awards the Virginia Challenge has that, you know, it would be a good opportunity for it to show, like you said, one class can work and a good opportunities for these young athletes whose seasons were cut shorter than they thought they would, or they didn't get the opportunity that they thought they should. Another chance to compete in a great event. So it's a good opportunity. You know, Brian kind of hit it on the head. I think communication was very poor. We need to have more effective communication lines between the VHSL and the coaches and the ADs. It was not there. Contingency plans. I said that at the beginning. We need to be proactive. You should have that laid out. We should know if we're going to get weather, and weather's a concern for the Virginia High School League and safety, which it should be. This is what we're going to do. We're either going to move it to Sunday, or we're going to move it to the next week. At Brian, like Brian said, it might have to be in different locations. But if you've done that ahead of time, it's no problem. The issue is solved. So being proactive versus reactive, I think, is critical in the future.
All right, Mike, we're going to go with you. And I want to interject this thing real quick, because this is what Bill kind of talked about moving venues. Salem Civic Center, I started going there in 1996. And the last time I was there was in 2009. And thankfully, I had a press credential, but nothing had changed. You've got piles of lines of people tripping over each other, crammed into that little lobby, only one door open on each side, you know, parlor A with your brackets and, you know, whatnot. And, you know, no disrespect to the, you know, concessions people, they don't set the prices, but I made sure I went to Mac and Bob's or McAdoo's if I wanted something to eat in Salem. I was never going to eat there. So, you know, Salem is a facility. I think it just seems that they want to be married to it. But, you know, Mike, from a 4A through 1A perspective and having to drive out there, you know, what are your solutions for maybe the Salem quandary and this whole debacle of a communications screw up, so to speak?
Any change with Salem is going to have to be solved from a money issue, because I think that marriage is because of money. From what I hear, because I think the Salem Civic Center pays to have that put on. I was talking to Coach Carr from, he was down there to see some of the kids wrestle. He's from George Mason, and he was telling me, well, the Patriot Center is open. No, nobody's in there this weekend. You know, why don't you have it there? And I said, I think they're kind of married to this financially. And he said, well, yeah, you'd have to pay for the Patriot Center. Whereas in Salem, I think the Salem Civic Center pays for this. There has to be some reason, because it's just a tough venue because you're there, that it's just so sterile. You know, you have this good high school season, you're there for states, you know, and even as coach, I just feel like I'm treated like, you know, you can't be here at a certain time. You got to be here at a certain time. You can't be there at a certain time. You know what I mean? It's just very sterile. It's sterile for the fans. The only thing they do well is they sell that finals, and they didn't get to do that this year, which made it even the situation even worse, because you had that walk of champions. I like that. That's always neat. And they put the lights down and then the finalists walk out. But we didn't even have a chance experiencing that. That's about the only experience that I think is good from the Salem Civic Center at this point. So any change to VHSL, whether it be a change in the Civic Center, dual team tournament, combining tournaments and having individuals going back to the previous way, and or having one total state tournament, it's got to be sold by a monetary standpoint, because that's all there was in it. That's why they switched to that 6A. The VHSL is making money off of it. The schools are losing money. The VHSL is making money. And that's money is, unfortunately, money talks. So that's just what I see.
This has been episode 3 of a very, I guess, emotional episode of the Virginia Wrestling Roundup.
Hey, Twink.
Yeah, go ahead.
Can I add one thing? I want to add on a positive note.
Let's do that. That's what I was going to say. Let's end positively. Yeah, Bill Swink, you're reading my mind. Go for it.
Okay. I just want to say congratulations to all the public school and private school, all state wrestlers and state champions and runner-ups. You guys work hard. You deserve everything you get. Don't let it take anything away from your accomplishments. I'd like to congratulate Benedictine, private school state champs, Royal Retreat, 1A champs, Clark County, 2A champs, Christiansburg, 3A champs, Fauquier, the 4A champs, Matoka, the 5A champs, and the Colonial Forge Eagles as our 6A champs. Congratulations, teams. You earned your titles. No asterisks. You did it.
And I'm going to do one better, Bill. I actually wrote all this out before we got started, so you kind of stole my thunder a little bit. So let's on a roll, the top yeah, fives. Yeah. Let's start with the private schools. Benedictine, St. Chris, Liberty Christian. Hey, Peninsula Catholic finishing fourth, and Cape Henry fifth. In 1A, Rural Retreat, George Wythe, Castlewood, and Radford tied for third. And in fifth was Lancaster, which is my parents' alma mater. In 2A, Clark County, Grundy, Strasburg, Graham, and Riverheads. Couple traditional powers there that we've heard from. 3A, Christiansburg, Cave Spring, my alma mater of Pocosin. I had to throw that in there at least once on this show. They were third.
And they can thank that single elimination for that. So, but anyway.
I'm not done yet, Mike. Brookville, Ben Summerlin's alma mater was fourth. New Kent, you guys were fifth. In 4A, Fauquier, yep. Hanover, Eastern View, Woodgrove, and Sharando. I remember Sharando. 5A, Matoka, Broad Run, Hickory, and Ben Summerlin was on our last episode. First two state champions in school history. Congratulations to the Hickory Hawks. Great Bridge was fourth. Mountain View was fifth. And in 6A, Colonial Forge, Centerville, Robinson, and the Fields, Westfield and Battlefield. So those were your top five teams across the board. And gentlemen, I guess I'm going to go around the horn one more time. Final thoughts about things that we're doing with VAWA and things to look forward to. First of all, let's just go with, randomly, Brian Hazard.
I got nothing for the first time probably in my life. I'm excited for this springtime. I'm excited to see all the new folks who get a taste for it really excited to see some great wrestling here in the next couple weeks, getting ready to get back on the horse.
Mike Faust, you got a guy heading to Virginia Tech. Thoughts?
I'm pretty excited about that opportunity. Got him going there, and we got BC going there, and then Blake Hemmer going to VMI. We're pretty excited about it.
Andrew.
Yeah, I've got two things. One, everybody can check virginiawrestling.com for what they need to do to have their voice heard with the VHSL. And two, Virginia is really excited about the National Prep Tournament up at Lehigh this weekend. St. Chris is coming off a top 10 finish. Joey Prada is a defending champion. Jackson Law, Judah Bruce, Josh Weiland, returning placers, Benedictine, LCA, Cape Henry Collegiate, poised to have good tournaments. So follow the Virginia guys going up to National Preps this weekend.
And Bill Swink, since this is the namesake of your old website, the Virginia Wrestling Roundup, you get the final word.
All right. Hey, you young guys, get out, sign up for the Volleyball Kids Folk South State Championships on March 7th at the Arthur Ashe Center. Ladies, War of the Roses on the 8th, along with the elementary school club, middle school club duels. On the 14th, Virginia Challenge Freshman, Sophomore, Junior, and Super States. Get signed up. Great opportunity to participate. Also, on that 14th date, we will have a folk style to freestyle transition clinic. So make sure you're there and you get that clinic as well.
So for Mike Foss, Brian Hazard, Andrew Farah, and Bill Swink, this is Jason Bryant, and you've been listening to the marathon that was Episode 3 of the Virginia Wrestling Roundup. Check us out on iTunes. Go to vawa.mattalkonline.com. You can find it on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, SoundCloud. That's where you can find everything related to this podcast. We'll see you next time.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.